Are you ready for a change? Be it physical, mental, or emotional change, you've already got what it takes to make that happen. Your host for the upcoming program, the Matt Newton Power Hour, has trained in martial arts over the course of several decades. Time and time again, his training methods have saved or extended the careers of dozens of NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball stars. Matt Newton has authored two highly acclaimed books, A Path to Power and The D Factor. The Matt Newton Power Hour starts now. Here's Matt. I've got the power!
Hey, yeah! Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. I'm Mac Newton. I'm the host of the Power Hour, and I guess we're going on now our 7th year. Well, of course, we've had a few breaks, but like an old penny, we just keep showing up. That's the good news. I want to welcome all of our new listeners, and especially our new Facebook listeners. Been on Facebook for almost a year, and we've been off of the Power Hour for almost a year. That's amazing. Can you believe it, Zach? It's been almost a year since we've been off the air. Well, we're back. We are back, and it feels really, really good. How about you, Zach? How do you feel being back on the show?
Like I was saying, sir, I mean, it's hard to believe it has been so long. It's definitely good to be back in the saddle, though, like I was saying.
Well, you know what? Having you back on the other side of the glass gives us a feeling of security and continuity. It's good to see your face. Well, you know, the fabulous Natasha is also going to be back with us as we restart the Power Hour. She's not here today, but she will be back in her customary chair, sort of as an unofficial co-host of the show. So as I said, welcome to all of our new listeners. Welcome to all of our Facebook listeners. But I also want to welcome and say thanks to all of our old listeners, especially those that just nagged me and bugged me through emails and messages to restart the Power Hour. And you know what? When you get messages like that, you get emails like that, it makes you feel good, Zach. It really does.
I think I hear something from all those people.
Yeah?
I think they're...
Yeah, there they are. Yeah! Thank you. We are back, and it feels really good. Well, for those of you who have not, you know, tuned into the Power Hour before, the question is, what is it? Well, it's a show that says yes to your possibilities. It's a show that encourages you, inspires you, hopefully, to take a chance, take a risk, to do something you've always wanted to do, something in your heart you knew you were capable of doing, you just hadn't done it yet. In other words, it's a show about potential, you know? And I want to hear from you guys. I want you guys to send me emails this time around because we have an expanded segment for emails. If you're Facebook listeners, send me a Facebook message. Call-ins, eventually we'll have that too. Guest, you betcha. So what do we talk about on the show? We talk about different things. We're going to talk about, you know, fitness things to keep you in shape, to give balance to your life, relationships, money. You know what? People say money can't buy happiness, but you know what? You'll buy me a boat where I can pull up right next to it, and I can wave to it and say, hello, happiness. So it can buy you a lot of good stuff. We need that, too, for balance and harmony. So we're going to talk about finances. We're going to have guests like Mr. Stuart Spivak, one of the experts in financial planning here in the Valley. Definitely going to have him on the show. We're going to talk about music. We're going to talk about all sorts of things, but mainly we're going to talk about success. We're going to talk about stuff to make you happy, to make you feel that you're moving in the right direction for your life. So that's what the Power Hour is all about. Hopefully you know about me. If you don't, go to MacNewton.com. I'm not going to spend time talking about myself. I always feel weird when I do that, you know, unless I'm bringing up something I can use as an example. But anyway, gang, I am Mac Newton. This is called the Power Hour. It is now 4 minutes past the hour. You're listening to our theme music, Down to the Bone. You know what? I like this group. They were from England, and the leader of the group plays no musical instruments. Isn't that perfect for the Power Hour? A guy who can go out and do something, totally unexpected for his experience. He's got no musical experience. He doesn't play a musical instrument. You know what he does? He hums all of his songs into a dictaphone, and they write it out, and they play it. What do you think about that? How's that for telling you you can't do something? Anyway, the Down to the Bone name comes from a bar where they all met each other and hung out in England. And so they said, let's go down to the bone and collaborate. So that's why they're our studio musical group. All right. Hey, that's it, gang. Welcome to the show. And listen, on today's show, we're going to talk a little bit about our 3-2 eating plan to get us into that a little bit. And after that, our main topic is going to be the 6 keys to leadership, teamwork, and happiness. So again, welcome to the show, and I'll be right back. Okay, gang, welcome back. It feels good being back in the chair, sitting over here doing the power hour again. I always like that. You know what? I want to give a good shout out right away to Pat McMahon. You know, I always give a thanks to Pat at the end of every show. He deserves a hand. Pat McMahon is a role model of mine. He's an icon here in the Valley, having been on TV and radio for several decades. But I came to the Valley in 1983. And I'll tell you, gang, you know, and one of the ways I will talk about myself, and I'm not afraid to use myself as an example of things you don't want to do. And some of the things I did when I first came to the Valley, you just don't want to do. It seemed like I took all of my potential and tried to just blow it up, and including just taking misleading directions, and even the opportunities that came my way, I seemed to blow that up. But anyway, Pat McMahon did everything he could to get me started in the right direction. I don't know if I told you this story, Zach, but as soon as I came here, I had a self-defense program for women called Hit and Run at the time. It eventually became I Will Fight Back. But at the time, I called it Hit and Run, self-defense for women. I sent out a press release, and the only people to answer was Rosemary, Pat's long-time assistant and a helper at KTAR, responded and scheduled me to be on the show for, I think, a short 5 or 10 minute segment. I was thrilled. So I went down to the show, and we ended up doing about 45 minutes that day. He kept asking me, can you extend on? Can you extend on? Can you extend on? And finally, at the end of the show, when he was going off the air, he said, you know, Mac, if everything else doesn't work out for you, you've got a future in radio, because you were just a natural on that show. And I said, well, I've not had any training in it, and I was nervous as all get out. He says, well, you would have never known it. He says, you were really great. And he went on to encourage me and to have me back on his show several times, even in the midst of one of my complete disastrous blow-ups, where I tried to just blow my life apart. And everyone knew of the problems I had brought upon myself, but it didn't bother Pat. He brought me back on his show, and I am eternally grateful and thankful that he believed in me so. And hopefully, over the years, I've proven him to be right, that I was worth investing in. So, all of the power hours are, you might say, thanks to Mr. Pat McMahon, someone that you can, in fact, if you ever listen to him on radio or TV, you better do so with a dictionary at your side, because the words he uses, I have no idea what he's talking about half the time, but he knows more than any one person that I know who's living. He knows something about everything. You know, some people say about me, Mac, you know a little about everything, don't you? Well, that's probably right, but Pat knows a lot about everything. That's a big difference. So thanks again, Pat. Appreciate everything you've done for me. On today's show, as I said, we're going to talk about health, and we're going to talk about the 3-2 eating plan to get you thinking about that, and the cornerstone of everything that makes the power hour go, which is attitude. And of course, our topic for today is the 6 keys to teamwork, leadership, and overall happiness. But, you know, one of the things that people ask me often, is not only here on the Power Hour, but even on Facebook, where I write a blog every day, a short blog of probably, I don't know how many characters it is, no more than 200, I guess. But I'm frequently asked, why do you just give it away on your website? Why do you give away your ideas? Why do you tell everyone about the 3-2? And are there ways you could sell it? Of course there are. Why do you give this stuff away? Well, personally, I think you should give away everything you know so that more will come back to you. I just don't think that you should hoard your ideas. You know, just hang on to them. I mean, I think you reduce your capabilities when you try to hoard onto everything that you have. I mean, ideas are open knowledge, you know, floating in the universe out there for everyone that they can plug into if they open their mind, if they so choose to. I've found that over the years, the more I give things away, the more that comes back to me. I don't think you get rich by what you keep. I think you get rich by what you give away, and it comes back to you, and then it's really yours. So that answers your question. Why do I do this show? Why do I basically finance it, put it out there, so that more will come back to me? And I know that more will, because that's the way the world really works. And I guess that's another thing we're going to be talking about here on the Power Hour. How does the world really work? I mean, some people think that the world, you know, you can get more out of life by dragging others down. World doesn't work that way. You get more out of life by building others up. We're going to talk about some of the things I've learned by living, well, I'll just say a long, long time. And I never thought I'd live this long either. Because as the old joke says, if I thought I'd live this long, I would have taken much better care of myself. But I'm doing okay. To have lived as long as I have and to still be able to do some of the things that I do, I feel truly blessed, far too blessed to be stressed about the things that are not working. I like to spend my time focused on the stuff that is working. Focus on the things I want to have in my life instead of the things that are not working and things I don't have. Because when I look at it that way, it's like I have a lot more than I think I do. Now, quickly, let's talk about the 3-2 eating plan. Because when you talk about health, sooner or later, gang, it's going to come down to what you eat. So let's get that right off the top. Let's start talking about that. I've developed an eating plan which covers all the bases. And it's not just because I created it, but because it does. It's called the 3-2 eating plan. It's about three things you can eat and two things you can drink. Now, I'm going to talk about the strict plan, and over time, we'll figure out where you fit into this plan. Do you fit on the strict plan, or do you fit on the platform, or do you fit into the extended 3-2? We'll figure those things out. But right now, I'm just going to give you how the strict 3-2 works. You can eat three things: meat, real meat, lean source protein, meat, real meat, not deli meat or funny reconfigured meat like ham and bacon or spam and stuff. No, real meat. I'm talking about poultry, beef and pork and lamb, real meat and fish. As much of it as you want. Second thing you can eat, vegetables. And I like to recommend green vegetables. Any vegetable you want, long as it's green. This doesn't mean that all the other colored vegetables are bad. It just means that no matter what it is, that you can get from a vegetable that's not green, you can get it in something that is, and it keeps it simple. And number three is fruit. So you can almost eat as much as you want of the fruit, but definitely as much as you want of the green vegetables and the meat. And the two things you can drink are clean water and fruit juice. There you have it. That's a strict 3-2. As a result, that means you're going to be eliminating bread. You're going to be eliminating soda and coffee. You do that, it's going to change your world. Eliminate salt. It's going to change your life. Eliminate salt. Do it, my friends. Do that. And always, what is a good attitude? It's just expecting things to work out well instead of expecting things to turn out poorly. It's a series of expectations. We're going to get a chance to talk lots and lots about that. But here in this first show, as we restart the Power Hour, I want to get you guys thinking good food. Get you thinking good food, thinking a good attitude, and thinking of doing something physical every day. Walk for 2 miles. Take a bike ride. Swim. Now we're talking about the beautiful triangle. We're talking about a good attitude. We're talking about good food. And we're talking about working out. Does it get any better than that? Not for a long, healthy life, I think. Okay. We're off to a good start. It's now exactly 15 minutes past the hour. Zach Geis is on the other side of the glass. I'm Mac Newton. I'm the host of the show. The fabulous Natasha will be back with us next week as we restart the Power Hour. You guys stay exactly where you are. We'll be right back. Hi gang, I'm Mac Newton. I want to talk to you about success. Predictable success, like the sun rising in the east and setting in the west. A comfortable feeling that you know that you're going to reach the potential that the Creator put in you at the start. And that's what we do here at the Power Hour. And when you're not listening to us and following up on the things we're talking about, you can go to www.macnewton.com, where I've got essays, where I've got previous Power Hour shows you can listen to, and very soon, I mean within the next month or so, you'll be able to download workouts. That's right. Whether you're a rank beginner or you're getting ready for the Grand Canyon State Games or even the Olympics, or you want to try out for the Arena Football League, you'll be able to work out with the Mac Daddy and get in shape with the best in the business. All at www.macnewton.com. That's where the winners go. Hi gang, welcome back. I'm Mac Newton. You're listening to the Power Hour. It is now 16 minutes past the hour, and it is a beautiful day in downtown Phoenix, Arizona. It is Wednesday, the 7th. Is it the 7th of July?
I think it's 6th today, sir.
Is it the 6th today? I thought it was the 7th. No, it's the 7th. It's the 7th. Wednesday, the 7th of July. I'm looking right at my calendar right now. There you go. It is flying, Zach. It's flying by.
What do I know? No doubt. I just push these buttons here.
Well, I have a calendar sitting right in front of me. The 7th of July. Time is flying by. And by the way, for all of you guys listening to us live, if you really like the show, you will be able to log on to www.macnewton.com and replay for yourself or tell your friends to listen, because it will be uploaded on our website immediately after this show finishes its live broadcast.
Extra powerful Power Hour, the 7-7 now.
Sevens, oh my, that's exactly right. Because 7 is the number for the Mac Daddy. All right, gang, welcome back, as I said. For those of you who are new to the show, we like to sort of ease our way in and make it easy for you. I think that we're going to try to give you a format that you're familiar with, one that you can depend upon, and so you know where you are in the show. But we're going to change things up frequently. In other words, get to a point where you expect the unexpected. There's no telling what we might do and who might show up on our show and talk to you about success. But I guarantee you, whoever it is, there'll be a winner. There'll be someone who is looking to get the best out of themselves. When we stopped the show about a year ago, Zach, almost to the day, it's kind of amazing. One year ago. And I thought, well, I'm not sure. I mean, we talked about it. You know, I had so many things that were going on and things we had to do in the meantime. And I said, well, Zach, just, don't give up on us. We're going to be back. We just don't know when. So, and sometimes I've tried so many things in the meantime since then, some things that have worked well and some things that haven't. And sometimes I've changed my mind on let's say my workout schedule or something I'm doing in business almost day to day. And because I firmly believe that changing your mind is not a sign of weakness. Some people think it is. Some people think that you're wishy-washy. Well, I'm not one of those believers, because the world is constantly changing. I mean, it's constantly changing, and the people around us are constantly changing. And the in fact, our world is changing more right now than at any other time in human history. The communication, our ability to communicate. I mean, this technology right now that we're using, this is amazing. I am broadcasting to the world as we speak. I have listeners in the Philippines and in Indonesia and in New Zealand. These are ones I know about. And in the United Kingdom, we're big in the UK. I just want you to know, we're big there. And in South Africa, and in fact, Johannesburg, there are a group of people working out a plan to get me to go there to build a series of lectures and speeches. We're big there, and we're talking to them right now. However, I'm sitting in my office. The world is changing so fast, and the technology, and as was said during the break, you'll be able to log on to my website and actually download workouts, no matter where you are in the world, and work out to me, whether you're a beginner needing to lose 500 pounds or you're trying to try out for the Arena Football League. That's technology. That's changing. And if you don't have the power or the courage to change your mind, wow, you're going to miss out. Yeah, that's right. So with all this change going on around us, and if I want to be effective in my relationships, you know, and my business, I've got to be ready to change my mind day to day. In fact, more than day to day, hour to hour. I've got to be flexible. I've got to have this mental flexibility. It doesn't mean I'm wishy-washy at all. What it means is I'm responsive. It means I'm flexible and I have the ability to respond. And what does that mean? Responsibility. So a responsible person is able to respond quickly. And it's not going to get just tied in to everything that they say. Well, I gotta do that because I said I was going to. No, it doesn't mean it at all. Now, there's something to be said for consistency and for sticking to things. Yes, no doubt about it. But I want you to understand that changing your mind is not a sign of weakness. So, and hopefully we'll be able to discuss those things more and more on the Power Hour as well. It is now 21 minutes past the hour, and our show today is a restart. This is not, if you just logged on and you think this is an old show, an archive show. No, this is our first show. It is July 7th, 2010. No, I don't say 2010. I say 2010. You know, I said 1955, 1975, 1985, 1995. What comes after 19? 20. I'm not going to say 2020. It's too long. I like 2010. So I'm going to say 2010. What do you say? Do you say 19? Do you say 2010 or do you say 2010? One of those silly things that mean absolutely nothing. So it doesn't really matter. When I was with the Oakland A's, and just to give you a little quick background, I was a conditioning coach for the Oakland Athletics with Tony La Russa, who's the manager, and Barry Weisberg, the trainer, one of my great, great friends for all time. And from 1984 to 1993, so 9 years, actually 10, parts of 10 years, and it was a wonderful association. And Tony La Russa and all those old Oakland A's guys were on those teams. We're still great friends and associates today. Tony and I talk several times a year. In addition, I was also the conditioning coach for the Dallas Cowboys, mainly through my association with guys like Jay Novacek, you know, that trained with me for so many years and had made the Pro Bowl. And these guys still maintain their communications. Aeneas Williams, for example. If some of you are in Phoenix listening to this broadcast, then you'll recognize that name, a five-time Pro Bowler who trained with me for about 6, maybe 7 years, even after he left Phoenix and moved to St. Louis and trained and played for the Cardinals. And you know what? We are still very good friends. I just talked to him last week. In fact, I've got two players that he sort of is mentoring. The defensive back with the St. Louis Cardinals, and a defensive back with the Buffalo Bills. they are one is a Simigo, a Tomway, is training with me right now. He's in this morning. He'll be back for his second workout tonight. And I think the other's name is Jairus. I'm trying to think of his last name, but he'll be in, I think, later in the week. And these are both people that Aeneas Williams recommend come and train with me. So hopefully they'll get the same result. So all these people, Dennis Eckersley and Dave Stewart and Roy Green, all these great relationships continue on. And that's really something when I consider back in my early adult years, Zach, one of my real weaknesses is that I could not sustain long-term intimate adult relationships. Couldn't do it. Somehow I didn't know how to accept love, accept it, give it back. You know, it has to do with your own self-love, your own self-esteem. You can't give away something you don't have. You can't even accept it if you don't have it for yourself. So as my study of the human achievement started in 1988, as I started studying success and what makes the world go round, oh my gosh, did it ever change my world? Did everything change? And I mean, it changed practically overnight. Well, I'm getting off the subject right now. Let me get back to point. It was in 1987 when Tony La Russa took over for Jackie Moore, who is a tremendous, tremendous person, who was the manager at Oakland A's when I was hired. It took over for Jackie Moore, and we became close almost right off the bat. And he saw how I was at the time just getting into studying about human potential and goal setting and things like that. And every day before I would stretch out and condition and strengthen the players, I would talk about leadership or teamwork or just personal happiness, because I felt if the players are successful off the field, well, doesn't it stand to reason that they'll be successful on the field? Yes, it does. Without question. So Tony immediately saw the wisdom in that and saw the value. And so he encouraged me and he says, I want you to put together a list of things that you feel that will make our team more successful. And what better thing to start off, to restart our power hour with, than what we started our run on Oakland for 3 years, where we won more games than any other team in successful in professional sport. We were the most successful team, not just in baseball, but in football and basketball as well, during that 3 year span. What better thing to start our successful trip with but the six keys to leadership, teamwork, and personal happiness? And after our break, that's exactly what we're going to do, Zach. We are going to share with everyone the same six keys that stood as the framework for four seasons that led Oakland to a world championship and two American League championships, that resulted in me personally being honored by the team. Not only was I considered a team member, but I actually received the same championship rings that they did. And in order for that to happen, you have to be considered a team member. So my role was valuable. And even since then, I've been sought after and by various teams across Major League Baseball and even some basketball teams. Well, at this point in time, you might say my career has gone in different ways. And you never know, though, Zach. You never know. If the right opportunity comes along, I might take it. I might decide to work again with a professional team. But right at this point in time, I don't see it on the horizon. There are so many other exciting things that I'm doing right now, and the people I'm working with, as you'll find out as time goes on here on the Power Hour, that is, I mean, it's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. And I think you too are going to feel this, the effects of the power of this hour. You're going to feel that in your lives. If you will listen to, just open your mind. I'm not even saying believe it. I'm just saying suspend your disbelief. If anything, try to prove that the things I'm talking to you about don't work. You will feel the power of the Power Hour. We're going on 29 minutes past the hour right now, and we're going to take a break in just a little bit. But before we go, I wanted to share one other little thing with you that our Facebook listeners will be very familiar with. Because I've some of these things I'm sharing to you, these little blurbs, are from my blogs that I've written on Facebook over the last year. And somehow, over 5,000, I think right now it's like 4,800 or so. I think they stopped me at 5,000. Someone's saying you can get a page and a start so other people can continue to read your blogs. We'll see what happens there. But anyway, I've enjoyed doing it. It's fun. I enjoy the creative process. The willingness to take risks can be a measure of who you are as a person. People who are afraid or who are insecure don't take risks. It appears to me that people who won't take risks are trying to stay where they are forever in life. People who take risks often end up getting more out of life most of the time. And even if it turns out to be wrong, it's probably not the worst thing that could happen to you. So taking risks is a good thing, especially when they're thought out and when they fit in your overall game plan for life. Hey, I'm Mac Newton. This is the Power Hour. Zach Geist is behind the glass on the other side, making everything work right here. So glad to have him, because it wouldn't work without him. It is now 30 minutes past the hour. It's time for a break. We will be right back, so you stay exactly where you are. Hi gang, I'm Mac Newton, and as much as you enjoy listening to the Power Hour and the feeling you get being shown the way, a way to get the most out of yourself, sometimes it boils down to just you and where you are. But no matter where you are, you're always going to have something that can go with you. www.macnewton.com. No matter where you are or where you may be, you'll be able to log on and work out with me, Mac Daddy. I mean, exactly the same workout that Aeneas Williams did, the same workout that Bo Jackson did, the same workout that Jay Novacek did, the same workout that Ricky Henderson did, the same workout that Dan O'Brien, the Olympian gold medalist, did. Yes, you, wherever you may be, www.macnewton.com. The home for champions, the home for winners, where you can read about success every day, no matter where you are, where you can work out and feel that you are on your path to accomplishing your goal. And let's say you don't want to be an Olympian, you're not interested in playing football. Well, what do you think a chief executive officer is but a top performing athlete? And you too need to be in the best shape of your life. There you have it. No matter who you are or where you are, www.macnewton.com is for you. Tune in today. I'm Mac Newton. Hey gang, welcome back for our final segment of the Power Hour. It is now 32 minutes past the hour. Oh, the Power Hour comes to you from downtown Phoenix, Arizona, where today I think we're coming in at a toasty 105 degrees with blue skies from wall to wall. I mean, they say that we're going to have our monsoon. You know, that name monsoon just kind of, I don't quite get it, Zach, because, you know, I've been in Asia, you know, when I was in the Vietnam War, and that was a monsoon. This monsoon, well, I understand what they're saying when they say monsoon. It's kind of it's a weather condition, but it's a whole different thing that they have in Asia. Whole different thing. Anyway, I'm happy. I love the weather here in Phoenix, Arizona. And like they say, it's a dry heat. Believe me, there's a difference. The stuff that's going on in New York right now, where it's like 95 degrees and 95% humidity, I'll take a pass. Okay. I will truly take a pass on that. That, to me, is hot and miserable. I spent one of the most miserable summers of my life when I was with the Dallas Cowboys in Austin, Texas. It was 89 degrees and 95% humidity. You couldn't wear anything and keep it dry. I almost died down there. So, anyway, here in Phoenix, it could be 105. In fact, 103 is my perfect temperature. That's to me, that's optimum. 103 with about 3% humidity.
It's a Newton line.
Well, the Newton line is 80. You know, I won't do anything outside under 80. That's where it's cold. But 103 is my perfect do anything outside weather. In fact, the fabulous Natasha and I, for our 4th of July celebration at home, of course, you know, being the chef of the household, I did prepare all the food for our celebration. And I'm not sure what the high was during the day on the 4th, but it was somewhere around 104, 103. But, you know, when the sun went down, it was perfectly beautiful. It was beautiful on the patio for sitting out and enjoying our late evening meal. And, of course, with me, you know, champagne goes with everything. Okay, welcome back, gang. So, we're coming to you from beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona, where it is sunny almost all the time. And no matter where you are, hopefully it is beautiful there as well. Is anyone into the soccer tournament? I mean, I've seen like all of my teams that I chose at the start are out. I originally had Brazil as the eventual winner. I then went with Spain as my second choice. After that was Germany, and I think they're still in the tournament.
They're going to be facing each other next, actually.
Oh, are they? Okay.
It'll be a really huge game.
Actually, I'm still in there. I'm still in the mix a little bit. I've lost Brazil. And then fourth, I had the USA. Now, the USA, you know, a lot of people say, well, they should be happy they got, you know, out of the original round. But, you know, I don't know. I just had a, you know, higher expectation. I thought they were capable of maybe still being there with a break or two. But that's good. A lot of interest. More interest is being generated in the high level of soccer competition. Are you following it, Zach?
Indeed. I mean, that game today with Netherlands and Uruguay was a really intense game. It ended up going in favor of Netherlands, but, I mean, it was anybody's game there for a moment.
Oh, yeah, it was. I mean, even right down into the final minutes of extra time, the Uruguay, they were fighting hard to get that tying goal.
It was captain with the blonde hair, I think it was Diego. I can't remember his last name, but he's been a star in a lot of those games.
He was fighting hard. The whole team was. You know what? When you look at that teamwork that's required and the intensity. I don't know if you saw this play, but at one point in time, one of the Uruguayans did what they call it bicycle kick, where they jump up in the air and they flip over on their back and they kick the ball. Well, I guess one of the members from the Netherlands tried to block it with his head and got, instead of him kicking the ball, he kicked the guy's head. Did you see that play?
Yeah, right in the jaw.
Right in the jaw, knocked him flat out. It was amazing. So those guys are tough. Don't think that soccer's not tough. It's a tough game. You got to be tough to play that game. And when they land, they don't have any padding to stop them from hitting the
pitch.
Terra firma. Exactly. That's what it's called, pitch. So anyway, so I'm into it. And who are you picking so far with the final four?
Well, you know, as a nice German boy here, I'm probably going to go with Deutschland there.
Well, I tell you what, they are spectacular. They've been putting some points on people that, you know, that just didn't think that they would be able to score that easily, and they've been scoring some amazing ways as well. Their footwork, their passing, I don't know. They've got a good plan.
It's a machine.
Yeah, it is. It's a machine. I think that I'm going to still go with Spain. So Spain, I had Brazil, Spain, Germany, and USA. So Spain would be my second choice for first place. So I'm still going with Spain. And then if they lose to Germany, then that's my choice. Well, I chose at the beginning,
fair enough.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, we're back. To get into the six keys to leadership, teamwork, and personal happiness. One of the good things about the Power Hour, gang, is that, you know, whatever we don't finish today, we start up again next week. I mean, because, hey, it's my show. I can do what I want to do with it. That's one of the great things about it. And gives you a reason to come back in. You know what I want you to do? Let me do me a favor. I want you to tell your friends about this show. If you like what you've heard just so far, tell your friends about it. Tell your friends that they can log on to www.macnewton.com and listen to this show. And then every Wednesday, they can listen to it live or whenever they see fit. That's the beauty of it. Okay? So, as I said, Tony wanted me to put this together, and I did. Back in 1980, I guess it was 1987 that we did this. So it's been a while. 87, 97, gee whiz, 2007. It was 23 years ago. Could have written it yesterday. Number one, as I stepped out into the clubhouse of that team, I went to look around and feel the things that needed to be changed to bring a consistent success. Winning. It's about winning. In life or in sport, it's about winning. Whether you want to be a winning parent, you want to be able to parent your children, you want to be a winner in a relationship, you want to do the things that are important to your partner, to yourself, to your spouse. It's all about winning. It's all about winning. So number one, absence of suspicions and resentment. No grudges, in other words. No grudges. There cannot be any grudges and you be successful in a relationship or on a team. Why? Because grudges only serve to undermine your willingness to succeed. And not only does it undermine that willingness to succeed, but it creates perpetual unhappiness at exactly the same time. And it's setting you up in an ongoing system of blaming someone else for things that are not working in your life. If you want to be successful on a team, whether it's a baseball team, a team in business, I looked at the Oakland A's and I saw people back in 1985 and 86 and early parts of 87 who held grudges against the successes of other team members. I thought, we're never going to get where Tony wants to get with this going on. We're never going to get there. This became the outline for what we did for the next 5 years. These 6 points. And we mastered them. And so can you. So number one, no grudges. You may be thinking back as I'm talking right now. What are the grudges that you hold? What are the things that you're saying, well, I don't know if I can... You know, maybe there's, you know, I say there are three grudges that people are holding almost all the time. You know, two you might be able to let go, but there's one. Oh, no, I can't let that one go. Two you can talk about. But number one, you can never believe in yourself if you're holding a grudge. Number two, you can never fulfill your possibilities when you're holding a grudge against someone else. So I might say that this is completely selfish. Let the grudges go. Let's get ready to move on with your life. Move on towards success. The success that you deserve, to fulfill the possibilities that were put in you, to fulfill your endowment that the Creator gave you. The thing that, Zach, I think you've heard me say it before, but one of the things that has saved my life many times is the fact that my mom, who passed away when I was 3 months old, when she was only 15, I've always wanted to make her life something. And the only way I could do that was to become something. And I would have to say that realization has pulled me out of a lot of deep, dark holes, has pulled me out of water that was really deep and cold and dark. That need to make her life meaningful. And step by step, I've been able to eliminate all the things that have allowed me to fulfill, or at least in my estimation, come close to the potential I have as a human being. And I believe that every time you make your world better, you improve yourself, it makes my life better at the same time. And that's the way the world really works. Anything that I can do to help you improve your life makes mine better at the same time. So if I can go here and help, at the same time I'm saying this, help 100 people improve the qualities of my life to the same degree, I'm going to be made better at the same time. Yes, that's how it works. Yes, that's how it works. No grudges. No grudges. When I said it at the start of number one, it serves to undermine your willingness to succeed. It takes your will to be everything you can be out of the equation. So you may be thinking that you want to be successful. You may feel your possibilities, but there's nothing you can do about it because you're holding grudges. And you won't even be able to figure out what's stomping you on your neck. It's a grudge. Could it be that simple? That something that simple, that if you can eliminate the grudges, you'll be one step further to fulfilling your possibilities? It could be. Number two, live in the present. What a simple statement that is, Zach. Live in the present. How many times have you heard it? I mean, how many times have you heard someone say live in the present? Dozens, maybe hundreds, who knows? I mean, it's so easy, but is it after all? I mean, with everything in your own mind pulling you back to the past, to all the things you've done wrong, all your past failures and mistakes, every time that you confront something new, the first thing that comes into your mind is, can I really do this? Last time I tried something, it didn't work. It won't work. Well, my past failures, my mistakes. And if that's not enough, of course we're surrounded by people who are all too willing to remind you of the mistakes and the failures you've had in the past. That they're there to remind you of the things you can't do. So, how easy is it to live in the present? It's not very easy at all. It's one of the most difficult things you'll ever do, is to live in the present, is by being in the here and now, to do things that matter right now. So my advice to you is eliminate all of this unwholesome preoccupation with past failures and mistakes. We have to eliminate that. And how do you do it? Here's the question you ask yourself. What's important now? No, not what was important 5 minutes ago, or what may be important in 5 minutes, but what's important right now? What's important right now? By asking yourself that question, it will jerk you out of the past. You know what's in the past? Anger, bitterness at the things that you didn't do, at the things you weren't given. And what about the future? What's there? Anxiety over what may happen, fear, doubt. What's going to happen? Am I going to get it? Am I going to win? But none of that lives in the present. There's no pressure there. So how do you get from the past, where so many are living, 85% of you, according to statistics, 12 of you living in the future, 12% of you, worrying about it, and only 3%. It is amazing that 3% correlates with the 3% of the people who do everything in this world. They're living in the present. And you do it by saying, what's important right now? And as soon as you do that, you ask yourself that question again, and pretty soon it becomes a habit. It becomes an ongoing habit of thought. Let's just stop for a moment and look at these two things right now. You tell me, Zach. Let's say your favorite team. Let's say Germany or the Germany soccer team. Or are you following the LeBron sweepstakes? What's your favorite baseball team? Football team? What is it? Basketball team?
Well, I mean, I'm sorry to see Amari go. You know, I love the Suns for so long.
I love the Suns. Okay, let's sit with the Suns. And so many of us are sorry to see Amari go. But he has to do what's best for him, right?
Exactly.
Now, let's just say that the players who are left are able to embrace these two things and master these two skills, just these two alone, where there will be no grudges among any player on that team. In other words, this will be a true team, all encouraging and being for one another. No grudges. Supporting each other, and every single player living in the present, not in the future or the past. Living in the present. Because we know by living in the past, we are going to guarantee a future, forfeiture of our future. We know that. So if we're able to do those two things, 100%, will that make the Suns a better team? You tell me, Zach.
I mean, they still have a good core. I mean, you know, not to be bitter about things that have happened in the past few years, you know, just move forward with it.
Would it make them a better team?
Absolutely.
So you say yes. These two things, I'm just talking these two, the complete absence of grudges, no suspicion, no resentment, no bitterness, no jealousy. We remove all of that. And of course, one of the negative things that DeMar was accused of when he was here was being jealous and being suspicious and harboring resentment over the success of some of the other players, and in particular, Steve Nash. So we take that out of the equation. Maybe we add through subtraction. Maybe we become a better team. Maybe we become a true team where all players, even though this a player who replaces Amari may not have the physical attributes, but if we take away some of the mental or emotional negatives, it becomes a greater plus for our team. Because these are the six keys to teamwork. Leadership. Are you getting where I'm coming from now?
Yes, sir.
Oh, now, those two things alone. Absence of suspicion and resentment. No grudges. Okay. Those two. Number three. I'm going to make a statement that's almost as simple as I did for number two, where I said live in the present. I'm going to say cooperate with life. Wow. How simple does that sound? But what does it mean, cooperate with life? As I say it, I'm not even sure. Cooperate with life, I mean, what? Live in harmony with it? Yeah, that could be it. Don't try to dominate or to conquer it. Yeah, that might explain it a bit. Don't confront it. Don't run away from it. Don't want to run and hide. Okay, yeah, well, oh, that's good, but I still don't know what you're talking about, Mac. Let me give you an analogy. Let me give you a little story. As you know, Zach, because of, you know, growing up with my great-grandma and listening to stories in my childhood, I'm a storyteller. Because that makes me understand the more than just the gist, but the intricacies of what I'm trying to discuss here. So let me explain, cooperate with life by telling you a story. Hopefully it's humorous. Let's talk about a golfer. He's playing by himself around the golf, and he comes to the 18th tee, and he tees up his ball, and he gives it a good whack, and it takes out, looks good right away, but then immediately it takes a sharp right turn, that's called a slice, and it starts heading over a row of trees, and it disappears from sight. Well, he's a little disappointed, but he says, okay, well, I'll put down another ball. That's called a mulligan. He says, what the heck, he's not keeping score anyway. So he decides to play the game out. So he finally gets the ball into the fairway. And after several shots and considerable amount of time, he finally ends up on the green and he puts it out and he smiles. He says, okay, that was fun. Had a nice round of golf. And as he's picking his ball up and headed back to his bag to go to the clubhouse, he looks down the fairway and he sees a crowd of people running down the fairway toward him. He can tell by their body language that they're not happy. They're upset. So he wonders what it's about, and he waits for them to get down to 18th green. And he says, are you the guy that hit the ball on the 18th tee that went off the course over there? And he goes, yeah, I am. He says, is this what that's about? You know, don't worry about it. I had another ball. It's okay. You can keep it. We don't care about your ball. We're here to tell you what happened when you hit that ball. He says, okay. The ball you hit went through the windshield of a car. The driver lost control and he spun around in the opposite direction and hit a tree and knocked the tree down, blocking the road of a fleet of fire engines going to a major fire. And as a result, a whole row of tract homes are burning to the ground right now. What are you going to do about it? He says, oh my God. Well, let me just think about that for a second. Well, one thing I can come up with, I better change my grip a little bit more to the left. Okay. All right. Well, we laugh at that. We laugh at that. But that's an exact corollary to cooperate with life. At this point in time, the ball has already been hit. It's already gone through the windshield. The car has already been lost control of. The tree has already been knocked down, and the buildings are on fire. What does the crowd want him to do? They want him to punish himself. They want him to call himself names. They want him to assault himself, literally. It's terrible. They want so that they'll be satisfied. What he decides to do, of course, is to cooperate with life and do the only thing that would make a change. So if he came back to that same tee the next morning, he couldn't end up doing the same thing, creating even more disastrous results. Change his grip. Because the way I see golf is, if your grip is too much to the right, opens your club face, it puts an inside-out spin to the ball. It's going to slice. It has to. But when you turn your grip more to the left, you get more club face on the ball. It puts a spin that goes from top to bottom, so it rises in a straight line. You get a nice high traveling golf shot. So the only thing he could do, and is as strange and as funny as it sounded, was change his grip. And that's what I'm saying to you. Rather than to whine about past failures and mistakes, rather than to punish yourself, beat yourself up over things that did not work out, things that haven't worked out in the past, change your grip. Change your grip. That's what I mean by live in harmony with it. Change your grip. Don't try to dominate or conquer your life. Change your grip. Don't try and confront your life. Don't be confrontational to it. Change your grip. Don't run away from life and hide. Change your grip. And certainly, don't try to destroy it. Change your grip. You see so many teenagers today, more than any other time in our history, taking their own lives. Destroying their life. They haven't learned yet how to change their grip. They haven't learned that they can change their grip. At that point in life, everything seems so final. There's nothing I can do about this. And there are some adults who feel the same way. Nothing I will do will change this situation. Nothing I will do will change it. There's always something. There's always another choice. There's always another way. Always. You have to have the courage to open your eyes and look into the darkness sometimes. You have to have the courage to think differently. Change your grip. Don't just keep doing things that you've done because it's always been done that way around here. Change your grip. Winners are absolute masters of changing their grip. They might change their grip every time they show up on the course. It's okay. Change your grip. I got time to start on one more. It is now 55 minutes past the hour. Our first show, Zach, is almost in the books, huh? You know, it felt like getting back on a bicycle. You know, it just felt like getting back on a bike. You know, for the first minute or two, you know, it was a little shaky.
A little wobbly.
A little wobbly there. But you picked up a little speed, and the first time you stopped, it was a little bit shaky, but you got your feet down. It was okay. Every time it got a little better. But you still knew how to ride. That's good. Pat McMahon, you were right. I do have a future in this radio business. Even though I'm still a martial artist, don't forget that. That's what I do. I still teach Taekwondo. Number four. We'll start this one because it's so powerful. It's so powerful. I'm just going to read what I wrote. Force yourself to be outgoing, especially during times of emotional stress, especially during times of crisis. You know, the Chinese have two characters for crisis. One is caution. Be careful. Slippery slope. The other is opportunity, close at hand, nearby. But too often people have been so intimidated of the crisis that that they want to run away. That's what most people do when confronted with crisis, emotional upset. They want to run away and hide. When what we really should do is force ourselves to be outgoing, is to be cautious, be careful, danger. But also, close at hand, there's an opportunity, a significant opportunity. And we miss it, never even to know that we missed it. So we say, well, I didn't have a chance. I never got a chance. Yes, you did. You had many chances. You just didn't see them. You were too busy running away. You were too busy afraid of the crisis that came your way. Because as soon as you set a goal, as soon as you start moving toward a meaningful opportunity, crisis is going to show up. There are going to be obstacles. It's built into success. The road to success is always under construction. It is bumpy. And if you're going to run away at the first sign that things are getting tough, you're never going to see the opportunities, never. Number four is to force yourself to be outgoing. It is to force yourself to not retreat, but to face that situation. Don't retreat inside yourself and hide. This is the opportunity now to stand there, open your eyes, and see where this opportunity is. This is an opportunity to make this relationship more meaningful. What's more damaging in relationships that because something starts and one or both members retreat? What can get done? Zach, what can get done at that time? Or what is more exasperating to someone who wants to communicate and the other person retreats? Runs away and hides. And you scream after him, we can't get anything done this way. We can't get anything done with you running away. And they're right, of course. But that's what most of us do. That's what most people do when confronted with a crisis, emotional upset, they retreat. The worst thing that can happen. We, at this point in time, need to change our grip. We need to go back to number three. Cooperate with life. Change your grip. Do the very thing you don't want to do, but force yourself to do it. Force yourself to open your eyes. And then when you do that, all of a sudden you'll walk away saying, I'm so glad I did that. Because now we have an opportunity to make this relationship, this bond stronger than ever before. To make this more of a team than ever before. Zach, does this make any sense to you at all?
It's hitting home. I'm glad, you know, this show's been great to get back. And, you know, this content is perfect right now.
Well, it's perfect for all of us right now because I talk about things I want to hear. Now, as we're down to, it's now 57 minutes past our game. We are coming down to the final home stretch, and I'm going to get one more thing into this number four before we leave. But don't worry, we're going to start off and finish number five and six next week as we review one through four next week. So make sure you tune in. Force yourself to be outgoing. I correlate that to doing whatever it takes. WIT, whatever it takes. As opposed to what most people do, they give it their best shot. You see, giving it your best shot allows you to retreat. That's like trying. Let me ask you a question, Zach. Imagine this. I mean, you don't have any children, but imagine you had a 2-year-old son and you and your wife are sitting on the patio enjoying a cool summer's eve. But inside your child lays sleeping comfortably, but you've got a little magnifying an amplifier with a transmitter, and you can hear through the receiver if the baby even turns over. So if the baby cries, you'll be able to hear it. But you're relaxing with your wife and you're enjoying the evening, listening to a cool breeze, the sound of your waterfall and your pool splashing. But all of a sudden you hear something that's not the waterfall. It's not the breeze. It's the sound of paper. It sounds like paper crackling, but it's not paper crackling. It's flames. Flames leaping out of the window of your child's bedroom. You look over your shoulder. It's a panic. Let me ask you a question. Are you going to give it your best shot to get that child out, or are you going to do whatever it takes? Which one? Quickly.
Success. You know, you cannot fail in that situation.
Which one are you going to do?
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. Why not giving it your best shot, Zach? Why not?
It's not good enough.
And you know what? That's the answer I always get. I've asked that question for 23 years, Zach. I've gotten the same answer. It's not good enough. It wasn't good enough then. It's not good enough now, and it'll never be good enough. Give something your best shot is never, ever good enough. Trust me on that one, gang. Never has been and never will be. You must be willing to do whatever it takes because it changes the odds. It changes reality right on the spot, doing whatever it takes. So when you open your eyes and not retreat into yourself, and you force yourself to be outgoing, you are now doing whatever it takes. You have changed your life. You are changing your grip. You are living in the present. You are making all four of these come to fruition right there, right now, right here. You're taking charge of your life. Remember, don't retreat and hide. Force yourself to be outgoing. That's number four. We're going to pick it up right there next week, gang. We really are. It has been just a joy for me to be back on the air with the Power Hour. And as we close, I want to remind you something of which I will every week. I want to remind you to be true to yourself, okay, gang? Be true to yourself, which means simply let your words and your behaviors match. Let your words and your behaviors be congruent. Let your thoughts and your actions be the same. That's being true to you. As always, I want to say thanks to Pat McMahon and Bob Adlock. He's the producer of the Suns broadcast, who was the motivation behind our getting our first TV show, the Mac Newton Power Hour, Cox 9. John Cannon, my co-host on that show, up in San Francisco still. My man. John B., old friend from Chicago, always will be. And of course, to Zach behind the glass, and of course, the fabulous Natasha. Okay, gang. My name is Mac Newton, and this has been the Power Hour. Now remember, the key when it comes down to food is going to be what you eat. To health, when it's going to come down to food, what you eat. The 3-2 eating plan is going to help you lots in that regard. Now remember, one of the key things to staying positive, to keep your mind positive, refuse to criticize, complain about, or condemn anyone else for anything. Not only do you isolate the person you're criticizing, but you trigger negative feelings and anger within yourself. Once you accept complete responsibility for yourself and everything that happens to you, you feel in complete charge of your life. As I said, my name is Mac Newton. I'm the host of The Power. I will be back with you next week. In the meantime, be true to yourself. Peace. I'm out. We'll be right back.